If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who or what left a strange and disturbing voicemail packed with heavy breathing? That's a question we asked today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, an 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program and would like to be a part of keeping this thing on the air and our pirate ship afloat, become an extra podcast person. That's a supporter of the show. We call them EPPs. You do that over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You sign up. It's only $5 a month. And for that $5, here's what you get. You get access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. That's what we've done here on this show. You also get access to our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, exclusively for our supporters, packed with our latest ghost stories, advanced episodes of the show. All of it's commercial free. You get our ebook, our audiobook. There's video content. There's all sorts of great stuff there. Again, ghostpodcast.com if you want to go right through the website and do it. Or if you like the Patreon or the Patreon app, go to patreon.com/realghoststories to get in and all that and help keep us on the air. We do greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Well, Tony.
Yes.
So that intro about the heavy breathing and the phone call, is that really a ghost story? Is it a ghost story or somebody getting those phone calls?
It could be a little bit of, hi, I'm Chris Hansen. Please have a seat over here.
Right? Like, honest to God, like, I've had those phone calls. Everybody has at some point. And, like, I never thought about them being paranormal.
I never had them.
I just thought about them being some creep-ass guy.
I don't think a lot of guys get those calls, quite honestly. It's more like, I think, women that get them from creepy-ass men.
So, I might be the only person in the world that got one from a woman.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
And maybe she was, like, sounded a lot like a guy.
Okay.
But it was really weird because I was in college. She's like, totally forgot about this. So she calls up and she wants to ask me, they're doing some kind of study and they want to, and was wondering if I'd answer some questions. And I'm like, I'm studying marketing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down with this. So it starts up. She goes, someone might be uncomfortable. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And so they got pretty kind of disgusting. I really don't even want to say. And I'm like, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with the marketing study, does it? Like, I felt so violated.
God.
That I didn't even hang up. I'm like, really? We're doing this? Like I came into it so innocently. Like, I'm just feeling dirty. And she hung up on me. So.
Well, that,
but
wow.
It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, well, that's all. I mean, it's not bad. You know, that I guess there's women who do that. I never really thought about
it. Okay, in all the years of working in radio, have you ever had it where a guy's called the studio and was, you know,
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh! Uh-huh. I'm sorry. That sucks.
Thank you for that.
I apologize for men in general. That's horrible.
It was really uncomfortable. And it's like the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You don't... Like, this is what you choose to do in the middle of the afternoon?
God.
That's like, I guess it was disgusting, but I'm like, it's just so much deeper than disgusting.
That is. Yeah.
It's like, there's so many layers to this phone call right now. I can't.
Yeah.
Jesus. You know?
I think the craziest call I ever had, it wasn't anything sexual, but it was, it was at our station that we both worked at. And there was this guy who called up. It was like, I was almost ready to leave. And he's calling and he was really super paranoid. And he probably had something not quite right. But I started rolling tape. I never aired the thing, but I was like so intrigued, like, where is this going? And he's like, are you aware of the microchips and everyone has been implanted with? And it was George W. Bush was president at the time. And he was going off about like Halliburton and Dick Cheney. And there's all sorts of shady shit there without a doubt. But I don't think like Cheney was necessarily implanting microchips into people secretly. And he was going on and on about all these secret projects that he had been a victim of. And he was a patient for this in this place and that place.
And they believe it.
And you know, and the scary thing is, you know, you hear about some of those things and it's like, well, is this like really one of them? Like, you know, because I mean, how would you really know? I mean, if they're sitting there and just, you know, behind the dumpster of Lowe's in Wichita, I mean, after you went through some of that shit, I don't know how much you'd get your life back together, quite honestly. But at the other hand, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, mental illness out there that there's no treatment, that nobody's getting treatment for, that can just run rampant. And your odds are probably much more in the bounds of it's mental illness that someone's not, you know, getting treatment for because they can't, because it's not affordable and it's not offered, because mental health in the United States is utterly shit, unless you have money, which is fucked up. I felt really bad for the guy and I didn't like ever air the call or anything like that. But
and you want to point out the inconsistencies. It's like, here's why.
I just want
to. Theory's not going to work. Talking to him.
And now you try and you'd be like, but that doesn't make sense because you just said this or that. I talked to him for like a half hour and it was like, there's no helping this dude. And I'm like, okay, well, you have a good night. I hope you have, you know, like, I don't know what the fuck I say. Like, but it was just. Yeah, but it was so, and he was so convinced, and he was actually really well spoken in terms of like just the way his vernacular and everything, but the topics he was talking about were so fucked up. It was like, oh dude, it's like, you know, had something else worked out correctly, things could have really gone well for you, but I don't know what happened here. But it was just like, my God. But he was thoroughly convinced that he had been chipped and, you know, people were out to get him and this and that. And he was really laying down a big secret on the phone line that afternoon on the country radio station in Wichita, Kansas.
And to him, it all made sense.
It did.
You know,
it did. And I mean, that's a scary thing about mental illness. And it's a sad thing, too. It's just how much it can transform someone to believe their quote unquote truth, which is not remotely reality or truth. And that's why I hate that fucking saying is my truth. That doesn't mean anything. Truth is truth. There's no my truth or your truth. It's truth. There's fact. Fact is fact. And that's what it is. And that's the scary thing with that. It's like, I believe you believe this, but
right.
That's not, and that doesn't make any sense. So anyway,
but I am curious how this phone call is going to be paranormal.
I am too.
We'll find out.
Let's jump into it.
How can you really prove it's a ghost?
Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Starts out, I have several experiences. I'll start with my very first one. I was 20 and staying with my boyfriend at the time in Tacoma, Washington. His house, always had this weird, heavy feeling to it as you'd walk up the path, and the feeling got worse inside upstairs. When you walked down the hall to his room, there was this Harry Potter-style closet door that led to the crawl space attic. Every time I walked past the door, I always got this weird feeling to look at it. One night I wake up, my back is to his, and I cannot move anything but my eyes. A little panicked, I look towards the foot of the bed, and I see a shadow man. Not on the wall, but standing right there, just looking at a sleep. I looked away for a split second, thinking I'm crazy, seeing things, and still cannot move. I look back at the end of the bed, and the figure is gone, and all of a sudden, I can move up again. After we woke up the next morning, I asked if he had encountered anything strange like I had seen the prior night. He said he had not, but his ex-girlfriend had an experience where she was talking to someone in his room and swore it was him, but he was downstairs after hearing that it was hard for me to sleep with the lights off that night. The next one is more recent. 3 months ago, I moved into a home in Roy, Washington that was built in the 1930s. It's an old farmhouse and everything is original, so there are creaks and stuff from the age of the house. As far as I'm aware, no one had died here, but there's a lot of antiques stored here by the landlord. In my room, I always felt like someone was staring at me from a certain corner of the room. One morning, about 3 weeks after moving in, I went to work and my boss comes up to me and says, "Do you realize you called me at 1:30 this morning?" And my phone sits on the charger away from my bed, so I must get up to turn off my alarm. I mentioned this to my boss and she showed me her phone. Right there on her missed call list was my name and phone number. There was no record on my phone of any of it. She then told me that there was a voicemail left in faint breathing. When I got home that day, I got to my door and started burning sage and speaking out loud sternly with my rules. Sage made it angry, so I had to use Palo Santo and myrrh. But a week went by and the heaviness I felt and the feeling of being watched was less. I had the idea to burn more in the corner where I felt the entity. I lit a few incenses just to give it a good cleansing. About 2 minutes went by and I look up at the corner of my room. There's a ton of smoke, but it would not go past a certain point. It was like it hit a wall. I opened the window to let out the energy and after it, all was gone. Feeling went away. Not completely, but enough where I'd not wake up at witching hour, needing to burn more. I'm not sure if something is attached to the house or something is in this room of the landlord's, but I sometimes hear noises that are unexplainable. I've been haunted a few times in my life, and I know I have an ancestor attached to me for my protection, but I somehow end up haunted by heavy, dark spirits. Thanks for listening. I love your show. I listen while I'm at work. Thoughts?
Okay, so my thought is, how awkward that it's like, oh, I didn't call you in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be awkward. Like, really, look, I didn't call you.
Look at your history. The worst is when you look at your history, you're like, oh my God, I called all those people last night?
But, I mean, there's a lot of paranormal things, obviously, we don't understand. But, sure. You know, it is interesting that she would show that the call came from her phone, but then there's no, you know, nothing on your phone.
Yeah.
So that's strange.
That is.
But at the same time, like, trying to explain your boss, like, yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that, really. Like, it would just be awkward because mm-hmm. Your boss isn't going to go, oh, yeah, you live in a haunted house.
Yeah.
Your boss is going to be like, you know, that was really uncomfortable and inappropriate.
And I didn't want to hear about your haunted house because we're running a business. So thank
you. It's weird. And you're giving me creepy calls late at night. And I'm not really okay with that.
That would be probably grounds for a little bit of a write-up at some point.
Right.
Not saying that it didn't happen by any means, but from a professional standpoint, that's probably how they would look at it. And that's, you know.
Don't you think that most, and you know, I might be wrong, but like any house that's like old like that, they're kind of all like haunted at this point, doesn't it? Or is it just, maybe it's just me too, because I look at them and go, oh, haunted.
I think
because it's old, I don't know. I just kind of in my head, I assume they all are. Like if I was to move into a really old house, I'd be like, I guess it's haunted.
At the very least, there's imprints, I think, in places. Whether it's, you know, how active it is, whether it's, you know, like the conscious entity is there, or it's just some of that residual stuff that keeps going over and over. you know, any place that I think anybody spent a good chunk of their life in, there's going to be an imprint of that person, whether they want there to be or not. And whether they're dead or not, quite honestly, too.
And like she said that she or he, I don't, it could have been a guy or a girl. I don't know if they said.
I didn't remember.
But like they said something about an older ancestor attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how do you know that?
I know.
Like, how did you get? I'm kind of intrigued by that story. Like, how do you know that?
I know.
Because it's not like one day, you know, it's like, hey, I'm attached. Sorry.
I have an interesting story about residual type things. And I'll just go ahead and say it. We've established how things have changed in the world of the Brewskis over the last couple of or last many, many months. I am dating someone else now after everything. And this is a story from my girlfriend. She's in an old farmhouse. And this is was her grandparents' house years ago. And she took it over about 2 years ago or so. And it had been empty for many, many years. And she said for the first many months of living there, at like 3-something in the morning. Again, it's a witching hour, not like implying anything demonic here, though. But there'd be this sound like going down the hall. I think it was to the bathroom. I could be completely wrong, but it was going somewhere. But it would be the same path every single night over and over. And eventually she just said, okay, Grandpa, I hear you. I know you're here. After that, stopped.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Man, too bad it's not all that easy.
I know. I mean, and that, what's weird to me about that concept is if it's residual, how does requesting it to stop even work? Because if it's residual,
yeah,
that shouldn't necessarily recognize outside influence, or is it not residual? Is it literally just
so him still doing his thing? Is the grandfather trying to get her attention?
I don't
and
know.
Like, they, hey.
And she's done
so. And then when she acknowledged him, like, I get you're here. Yeah.
And they're doing so
and
much
I appreciate
work
it.
On the place to try and get it. She's working on restoring it, you know, as much as she can. And there's so many neat aspects to this house because it's been built on so many different which ways. And it's. So I mean, it could be something where it's like, you know, I appreciate your giving this place love and caring for it again. And, you know, I mean, and that's truly what she's doing. But it was just really interesting, to hear that story. And it was also one of those icebreakers for us too, where it's like, thank God we can talk about ghost stories. Cause it's kind of a big part of my life.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, it's an interesting one. But I could totally see it too. Cause the place was like built like in the, I think 30s, if I remember correctly. She told me the date the other day, but it was around there, but it's got tons of character and I could totally see it. It's way out there and just peaceful. And if, you know, if this was your place and you died there, you'd want to stay there. You know, it's like, this is your happy spot. So.
But if your granddaughter took over the house and started redoing it, like, I think that you would kind of want her to know, like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Have you ever done sage or burned sage, like done sage? Have you ever puffed on sage? Have you ever,
yeah,
have you ever saged a house?
I have not.
Okay. I've never either. Can you do that for the living? Like, does it work on living people? Like, if you have a really shitty day, can you like sage a house?
Here's the
or
thing.
Or does it only
I
work
think.
On the dead?
Here are my thoughts on that. I think it could work.
Okay. Yes.
And the reason I say that is that I think some people come with some negative energy.
Yeah.
And we all know those people. And it's like, I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
Or like every time that person's around, it's like, God, take that bad energy and get it away from me.
Yeah.
So I do kind of think it would work for that. We used it, actually. We couldn't burn it at the station, but we got sage oil and kind of put it around in places.
When?
The guy who had your office, he committed suicide.
Yes.
No, it was tragic.
Yeah.
And it was so sad. And it was so dark.
Yeah.
And like, then they just left his office. Like, nobody planned a service for him. And I'm like, we've got to do so. Like, we can't just not do anything.
Yeah.
And in like his office just sat there, and there was just this dark energy in the building. And somebody else that we worked with, who, you know, we talked about it, and she's like, we got to do something about this. And we, and so that's what we did. And we kept it in my office, 'cause my office was right next to his. Mm-hmm. And when it would get dark, we would kind of just like put a little on our finger and go around the building where it felt weird. And I swear to God, it worked.
Because I took over that office.
Now, that was someone who had passed.
Yeah.
But I just think but we did it because it just felt like there was just this negative darkness.
I didn't know you did that.
Dark and heavy.
I had no idea. Uh-huh. Did the person who you did it with, was it, does your name start with a B?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why didn't anybody tell me this?
I don't know.
I would have been down with it.
I don't know. Like, oh, by the way.
I would have been totally down with it. But yeah. But then I ended up getting the, because nobody had the office, and I had like a cubicle down in the basement, and I came up to her one day and said, can I take his old office? Sure, you can have it. Well, that was easy. I mean, granted, it's a glorified closet because
it was tiny.
It was literally a sliding closet door that goes into the wall. It was a pocket door, and there was enough room for a desk and a chair.
Yep.
And that was about it. But you know what? I felt really cozy and happy in that office. And that's kind of interesting because it was his office. And so there would be naturally that sadness. Maybe you guys saging the shit out of it.
I swear, because it felt so dark and all of his stuff was in there. Yeah. And so I just went in and started cleaning the stuff out. And
I didn't know.
I just felt like it made a difference. I really did.
And I was in that office probably at least like 5 years. And I would be in there every day pretending to work for that company.
And you did. And I knew you were pretending to
and
work.
And I started a new company and eventually quit. Exactly. But it worked out well. But that's what I would do. But it was really cozy in there. And I really enjoyed my little closet office. But that's, wow, I didn't know that chapter to it.
Yeah, well, and so, but I just think, because it wasn't like I wanted to get rid of him.
No.
At all.
And
it was just the darkness.
Well, and
I needed it to go away.
The circumstances to which it happened with him too, and we won't say his name or anything, but he did it. Wasn't it true that he got some really a bad medical diagnosis?
Well, I'd heard that, but then I also heard that wasn't true.
Oh, really?
So I don't ever know what was really true.
Okay.
All I know is that, you know, it's suicide is a really difficult thing to process.
Sure.
When you're left behind. Mm-hmm. And all I could figure, the only way I ever did come to peace with it, was that as much as I disagreed with his decision, mm-hmm. he knew what he was doing and he knew that was the only outcome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he was in such a dark place, that's all he could see. Now, that said, then you blame yourself and other people blame themselves.
But did anybody, we all talked to him every single day. I remember when it happened. And he never really, he just seemed like himself the whole time. I don't know if you probably had a closer relationship than I did, but I he just always seemed like him. Like, I didn't notice anything that was like a sudden, like,
well,
real downturn to him.
He had called in sick for a few days before this had happened.
Okay.
And I had seen him. I have fallen down walking my dog and I broke my finger mm-hmm. and messed up my knee walking my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done something and he was using a cane and we saw each other in the hall. We were joking about how lame and old we were.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're like old people. And because we're both limping and then he called in sick the next day and called in sick for like 3 days. But that day he called and said, hey, I'm feeling much better. I'll be at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he never showed up at work. And that's the day he did it.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
But after we did that kind of process and had, you know, I didn't feel that darkness anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't.
And he wasn't like a dark guy. He was
no.
He was a very loving, I mean, he always talked about his rose bushes and was a very positive soul, I thought, you know, but you know, there's probably more going on than, you know, than met the eye by any means, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's the case with everybody.
Sure.
You know, because we all are looking for answers, and that's what's so hard about it, is that you look for the answers that you will never have.
Yeah.
And you wish, and even if you were to find the answers, they don't make sense.
Sure.
It's like, why? There's still a million whys attached to it. And
tell them that it's human nature. Why? Did they do me that way? And not to make way to make a little light of a dark topic, but no,
right,
I mean,
because that got really heavy,
but no, I mean, but he was a good guy, but yeah, it was, I did not know that about the saging. That's very interesting.
So it did, but I've never burned it like in a home I've lived in or anything either. Like that. And I think I actually still have that sage from when I got fired.
I was at Whole Foods the other day and they had, like you could buy like sage sticks like to burn for this very purpose. And I'm like, maybe. I mean, I think
it helps with getting rid of bad energy. And it could be a paranormal energy. It could be that, but it could also just be that darkness, heaviness that's been living in your home or been part of your home, or I don't know. Like
that's what I wonder.
We all just feel that.
Can it be used for something that's not a haunting, but just heavy, you know, difficult times and things like that, where you're just trying to move forward and just,
Now, I don't know what the rules are, and there's somebody listening right now who's like, what the hell is she talking about?
Yeah, here's the rules. But
here are the rules.
Yeah.
But I think that it just makes sense to me. And so if you feel that it has a power to it and it can help, like now, that said, if I think this whole thing, burning sage, is bullshit, I doubt that I'm going to get any healing from it because I think it's bullshit.
It has a lot to do with the belief system behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if I think it's going to help me, it might.
Yeah.
Not saying it will, but it might.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing. Well, let's move on to another ghost story here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. It says, hey, Tony and Carol, I'm from Annapolis, Maryland. I will listen to your podcast on my drive every morning. I must commend you guys because what I've gathered, you've transitioned from radio to podcasting and are still going strong. And that's super pragmatic and cool. I called in one of my stories, but I'm not particularly articulate on the phone. This story, though, is not my own, but my father's. And he's not inclined to tell tall tales and swore up and down the story was true all through me and my siblings' childhood. It's not necessarily a ghost story. We're not sure what it is, but here it goes. My dad was living in Hawaii during some of his hippie days, working at a textile plant that printed Hawaiian shirts. Not the hilarious nature of your hippie dad doing this in the 60s is not lost on us. My dad has always been into Greek mythology, and on one beautiful Hawaiian night when he was on his way to a friend's house in Waikiki, he stopped and saluted this bow-shaped moon, a hello, because that moon represented Diana, the goddess of the hunt. He went up two flights to get to his friend's apartment and saw the door was ajar, and this is where shit gets weird. He says upon entering the apartment, he felt an overwhelming sense of what he called lethargy, but in a good way. Good tingles, he calls it, and he saw what he described as the most beautiful woman he ever saw standing in the middle of the apartment ironing. This was strange. He was in the right place and had never seen her before, and this was a woman anyone would remember. She said hello using my dad's name, which surprised him, and continued ironing while my dad sat on the couch. He asked where his friend was, and she just smiled and started talking to him, oddly, though he cannot remember what exactly was said, just the overall pleasant nature of the experience. The calm, good tingles, as he would say. The next thing he knew, he found himself 30 minutes later walking down the warm Waikiki straight outside the apartments. The next day, he went back to see his friend, and this time his friend was home. So he started asking after this incandescent mystery woman, telling his friend, "Man, oh man, your new old lady is one hell of a knockout." His friend, looking very confused, told him he did not have a girlfriend and nobody else lived with him. They tried to figure it at every angle, but the apartment was locked and nobody had broken in. And on top of that, my dad's buddy told him solemnly, "Man, I do not even own an ironing board. So what I mean, not really a ghost story. It's debated in my family what kind of story that is. And one thing is for certain, my father is sure that on a particularly beautiful Hawaiian night, he was lucky enough to get a meeting with Diana, the goddess of the hunt herself. Now that story is weird, but it's nonetheless something unexplained and very intriguing. I hope it makes it on the air, and thank you for lending an ear. Also, I know the family has been unwell. Really hope things are doing better for you guys and that things are on the mend. Well, thank you for those kind wishes, and we are all certainly doing better in our own respects. What are your thoughts on the story, Carol?
Okay, my favorite part of that entire story is, number one, I love her dad. Like, he's the guy I wish would have been my dad. But I loved my dad, too. But when his friend's like, man, I don't even own an ironing board. Like, I love that line.
Yeah.
Like, that is so not true. I don't even own an ironing board. And the fact that, I mean, that's a really specific thing. Like you walk into your buddy's apartment and there's this woman ironing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would remember that. Like, that would be kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
She was in your house doing your ironing. Like, yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
No, but I think something, like, I mean, it's one of those stories you'll never have any proof of anything, but I like the fact that he thinks it's Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that. And do you have to figure it out? Like, just let it be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what we think it was.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's a great story.
I agree. I think he just kind of hit the nail on the head, accepted it, and it was good. And I appreciated his kind of words at the front, which was kind of an interesting observation, because I can kind of see it. I think you probably can see it too, of just like you transitioned from radio to podcasting. Because honestly, do you know anybody else who's done it and kept it going?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's 100,000 podcasts.
There are, but there's not a lot of radio people who've done it.
A lot of people who made it happen.
Who've made it happen, but they weren't radio people. That at least a lot of them have not been. I mean, I'm sure that I'm missing. There's probably some, but
because they're still trying to find another job in radio.
And it's that's what I see so often. And we have so many friends that are in the business and stuff. And I wish everybody the best. And I'll take a call from anybody who wants, you know, let's sit down. Let's talk. I'll just unload. I'll just vomit up all my information of the last 10 years of my life of what's worked and what's not worked. Because I would love to have more of our radio friends make it work. But it's an interesting observation. There's not a lot of radio people who went from radio to podcasting and are still in podcasting. There's a lot of people who went into podcasting that never done radio, but it's there's not a lot of it, quite honestly. But I think a lot of it's because you're almost brainwashed in radio on like, here's how it has to be done. This is the only way to do it, and you can't do it any other way. And I think what we did different was we just threw all that out and said, fuck it, we're going to do it how we want to do it anyway, no matter what. But it's that's such a like an inside radio way of looking at it. I wonder if they're in the business or to make that observation.
I don't know, but I did have someone message me this weekend, and she said, I really like it when you guys cuss.
Well, shit.
See, this is for you, lady. Fuck that. I just thought I'd throw out a gratuitous F word.
Nice little F-bomb there. Yeah.
Thanks. But, you know, that's something you cannot do in radio. So it's fun.
I did it.
Get to break all the rules. But Tony and I were talking about this today. We're messaging back and forth. And I'm like, I just told Tony, thanks for letting me be part of this, because it's really fun to do, because I feel like we're just having this conversation about ghosts. And I kind of forget that what we're actually doing.
Yeah. Well,
it's just fun.
We've kind of created that off the air conversation on the air. It, like for years in radio, before podcasts even existed, everybody in a radio studio would sit there and chat in the studio before we had to turn the mics on and go on the air. And we'd always joke, we should have put that part on the air, the off the air conversation, because it was so much better than what went on the air. And I feel like that's what we're doing in podcasting.
It's fun.
Even though our off-the-air conversations are still pretty good, though, too. but still.
Which sometime I think we'll have to do a podcast that's called Before the Show.
Off the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the show.
And because Tony and I, we literally every week, tonight was a full hour of everything that's going on in his life, everything that's going on in my life, and we have to figure out all of our problems and all of the problems in the world.
It'd be a good show into itself, you know?
Like, anybody would really give any shits, but they'd be like,
it would just be so revealing.
There's a lot going on.
I know. It's like, I don't know that I want to share everything like that with the world, but yeah, but no, it's just, it's interesting to think about, but no, thank you for that, that story, that letter. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I think that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call them. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, archive of episodes, ebook, audiobook. It's all there for you. And help keep us on the air. Patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.